Hey, help me welcome everyone watching by the way of internet today. We want to welcome you. Welcome them. One, two, three. Hey, welcome by internet today. Yes. How many's ready to receive a word today? Amen. Ready to dig into the Word of God? Listen, lift your Bible to the sky this morning and say this. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I choose today to open up my heart and my mind to this word. Amen. Amen. God be praised. Amen. Listen, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 today. All right. Let me set the stage for where we're going today. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and really the whole book because what Paul is trying to do is he is trying to set a church somewhat in order. If I could just have a theme or a tagline for the book of Corinthians, it would be this. It would be a people who is trying to want and grasp the blessings of God, yet they're not really, really willing to change their life. They're kind of living in sin. They're kind of going to church, going through the motions. They don't even know how to kind of do church. And so Paul comes in and says, listen, we need to get some things in order. We need to get some things right. We need to help you in your understanding about what it means to live and be a Christian. And so he begins this dialogue all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians and tells you the important things, but I want to take one thing out and I want us to think about it and I want us to kind of open our hearts to what maybe God would say to us today about being better together. So let's begin reading in verse 12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we all are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of one part, but of many. And if you skip over to verse 27, let me just throw this out. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If you move over to Romans, the same language, you'll hear the same language in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and give you just a, you turn there real quick, but I can read it from right here. It says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member, listen to this word, belongs to all the others. Now think about it. If you just take your body and you think, hey, I've got hands, I've got feet, limbs, I've got legs, all these parts, they all belong to each other, right? Can you believe that when you get a hangnail, your whole body shuts down? Because you're in pain. But here's the idea. We are all better together. We need each other. God needs us. Rockton, Roscoe needs us. This nation needs us. This world needs us. Am I communicating to you this morning? We are better together than alone in doing what God wants us to do alone, right? So let's continue this thought. And when we continue this thought, here's what we're going to learn. You go to your newspaper, USA Today, you turn on the news, and what do you see? You don't see good news, you see what? Bad news. And when you see the bad news, what you begin to think about, this is what I begin to think about, is that we are slipping away from a Christian nation, have been for a long time, just going to be real honest, because about every day on a Sunday, I would say, that about only 18 to 20% of people are going to church. So we're drifting away. But you know what? As the world drifts away, believers should be connecting. Because we are better together. We are better together. And as we are connecting, we should understand that we are powerful together. We become the land of the lost. And when we think about other nations and other countries, we think, man, they're the lost people. No, no, no. We're the lost people. Amen. This nation, you know what I'm saying? That we have drifted away. And so we've got to drift back. When you go in and you begin to do studies, the University of Michigan has this study. Did you know that on in a given day, during school, 9% of all 8th graders are carrying a gun, a knife, a club to school? That in a single year, that a 16-year-old, as they watch TV, will see about 15,000 sex acts on TV. 15,000! I didn't say 15, I said 15,000 in a single year. It's drifting away. Now, when a missionary goes to a foreign country, they do a few things. Number one, they'll do this. They will understand and learn the culture. They will begin to learn the language. And then they will begin to do this. They will relate the gospel in such a way to the culture through their language that they'll communicate that God saves. Amen. And that's the way it works. But think about this. Here in America, what we tend to do is we tend to build our buildings and say, hey, come this way. Now, I don't share this as a criticism today. I share this as a reminder about what the gospel is about. Do you receive that today? It's just a reminder. It's not saying, oh, we're doing it all wrong. No, we just need to be reminded about that we are better together. So all of a sudden, we have to shift our thinking from this inward to an outward focus. In other words, we have to be bold about carrying the message of truth to every individual that we come across to. Amen? Because this is truth. This is the gospel that changes lives. So here's what happens. We as believers must move from this attractional theology to an incarnational theology. What I mean by attractional theology, and we still need this, but we have to be aware of the incarnational theology. Attractional theology says this, hey, come to us. And we need to do this. We've got to have great programs. We've got to have great kids ministry, youth ministry, college ministry. We've got to have all those things that are great. But listen, we also have to have an incarnational theology. The New Testament is the incarnation theology. What do I mean by that? That means that we, you and I, are the hands, the feet, the mouth, the arms, and the legs of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? We carry it to a lost world. Yes. Jesus living in me. Now I begin to show an outward response because of what Jesus has done to me. I mean, we are so full that we have to give ourselves away, right? So people aren't attracted to you. They're attracted to what's in you. Amen? And that's exciting to me because it's what? It's an incarnational theology of what God is wanting us to do. So we're going to have to win our community. And when I say that, Let me just give you a clear indication of what it means to be better together. I believe, maybe even today, next few weeks or months, that maybe God is going to be calling you to be a part of a team right here at Life Church. It may be greeters, it may be ushers, it may be a first impressions team out front, it may be in a part of the youth ministry, the children's ministry. That he is calling you to step up and be a part of a team. Amen. To make an impact right here at church. Why? Because we're better together. Amen. And then maybe he's calling you to step outside of the walls of the church and you say, man, I'm not really bold, but I'm going to pray that you will be bold. Amen. And that you'll do things and you'll obey the Lord's voice at all times, at all costs. And you're going to say, man, I don't know if I can do that. You can do it. Amen. Right? And what we're going to do is we're going to bury our I can'ts. Amen. Amen. The true story, I heard of a teacher one time that took her fourth grade class because every time they raised their hand, they would say, I can't. The kids say, I can't do that. I can't do that. So one day she got all the class together. She took all the class out into the field and she said, today we're going to dig a hole and we're going to bury our I can'ts. So she had all the kids put in their I can'ts. She says, I don't want to hear I can't in the room anymore. It's going to be I can. Amen. All those kids buried their I can'ts right in the middle of a field. They walk back inside and it's I can. Maybe we need to dig a hole in the church today. Sorry, Pastor Kevin. Bury our I can'ts, right? Because we can. That's what the gospel, that's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So God's going to call you. So here's how we're going to do that. Here's how we're going to be better together is that, number one, we will serve better together in life. We always do. We serve better together. Now let me lay a foundation scripturally for that. Philippians chapter 2, 1 and 2. Great verse in the Bible. Some of you probably read this 1,000 times, but listen to what it says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. And I love this part. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Amen. Consider others better than yourself. You see, I believe when I look out across this congregation that everybody is a minister. And a bigger idea than that is we were meant to do that together, not separately. Now, we do that separately, but think about how much of an impact we can make together. I remember eating, I was eating at a restaurant recently at a Ruby Tuesdays. Don't you love their salad bars? Man, they've got great salad bars. You know you're getting old when you love the salad bar. You know that, don't you? Oh, you can eat salad bar. At every church function, I have a principle. Always bring a Ziploc bag. Always bring a Ziploc bag. Wisdom, I'm telling you, wisdom, right? So on this Ruby Tuesday, I was looking at this screen on the way out. And as I was looking at the screen on the way out, it was like where they check you out and they run all your, you know, how much it's going to cost and all that stuff. It said on there, one team, one dream. And I'm a sucker for those things. One team, one dream. Yes. Yes, one dream. And I began to think, yes, Life Church, one team, one dream. Three of you with me. That's okay. That's okay. If 12 can change the world, look what three of us can do, right? And then it's the one that says, teamwork makes the dream work, right? Yes, we serve better together. Teamwork makes the dream work. Anyway, okay, that was just extra. We're going to go on from right there. So how do we serve each other better? Well, let's consider three things real quick. Number one is we serve better together by using our talents. Did you know that I have a talent that you don't have and you have a talent that I don't have? We all have these talents. And I don't care if your talent is underwater basket weaving, be the best underwater basket weaver you could possibly be. Amen. How many do we have this morning? Great, 15 of you. Okay, thank you. Be the best that you can be, no matter what God blesses you with. Now, let me say this. We use our talents, but more importantly, think about this, that we all have a spiritual gift. And maybe even sometimes spiritual gifts. God has made you specific. And the great thing is, man, he's made tall people, short people.
Yes.
Bigger people, smaller people. People with hair, people with no hair. Different colors, all those things, right? Isn't it beautiful what God makes? It doesn't matter, man. I recently went on a trip to Guatemala. And in Guatemala, I was there. And I'm telling you, I've never felt so great in my life. I walked up to a medical clinic on a Sunday morning. We were doing medical ministry there. And I walked up to all these adults, and I was a head taller than everyone there. I was like, I told my rage, look how tall I am here. I would be an NBA player in Guatemala. I could be a forward or something, you know what I'm saying? For all the short people, you will identify if you're tall. You will have no clue what I just said. All right, back to the word. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You see that? We've got to be able to say, we've all got gifts, spiritual gifts that God has given us. What's the gift of helps, gift of ministration, the gift of leadership. There's so many that you can see in the Word of God, these gifts that God has given us. If you don't know about them, I encourage you to dig in and learn about them because you've got them. And you need to use them. And here's the thing about gifts, those talents aren't for you. They were made for others. And if you're not using your gift, if you're not using your talents, guess what? Someone's missing out, especially you and somebody else. Use your gifts, use your talents. Now, second way we serve each other, number two, is by offering our help. Now, listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what's the law of Christ? It's very simple. The law of Christ is the greatest commandment. Love the God, Lord your God with all of your heart. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says that anytime you do a kind act, a kind errand, a thoughtful gesture, and a help in a practical way, did you know that you are fulfilling the law of Christ? You are loving your neighbor. Now, I love the idea of loving your neighbor. Remember, we're better together. Outside of the church and inside of the church, we are better together. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I believe, and I've never heard the audible voice of God, but do you ever hear him kind of whisper to you or just speak to you, and you don't know if it's God or the pizza or tacos that you ate the night before, and you wonder what that is? How many? We struggle with that. It's an honest struggle. And so I remember years ago, we lived on a cul-de-sac, and I love cul-de-sac living. It's like sitting at a round table. You just get to know your neighbors and who all's your neighbor, and so it's a great thing. And I remember being on my riding lawnmower. Love riding. All the guys like, who likes a riding lawnmower? I know Pastor Blair does. A riding lawnmower. And I was right, and it was a cheap thing. I mean, $275 cash. I hope it gets around the yard several times that summer. And all of a sudden, I noticed that my neighbor behind the fence, his grass, he was growing hay or raising. It was this tall. And you know how you hear the Lord kind of whisper, hey, you need to offer to mow his yard. I'm like, with this thing? I don't know if it'll get to his yard. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So me and the beast, that's my riding lawnmower, if you don't know, we ride over and I say, Chris, do you mind if I mow your yard? Oh, man, that'd be a great help. I appreciate it. Well, I'm praying the whole time. Lord, don't let this break down. And Lord, please don't let this thing catch on fire and burn his yard down. You know what I'm saying? Now, how many's ever stepped out like that? Maybe not just like that, but you stepped out what would seem like a small thing, right? And you obey. Well, and sometimes we struggle with the idea, should I even do anything? Because I don't know if this is God. I don't know who this is. Well, someone told me this one principle one time, and it helped shape everything that I do about reaching out. He says this. He said, you know what, Craig? I'd rather be wrong 1,000 times than miss Jesus one time. Isn't that good? And so I encourage you, if God is speaking to your life to step out and help, I want you to obey. You obey and you see what God does through your obedience in life. And he will do awesome things. He'll do great things as you just step out and obey. Because you don't want to be wrong, right? You just want to listen to the voice of God, step out, and God will do things. Now, I do that thing. You know what? Honestly, I want something inside of me says, I want God to look down and says, Craig, man, you're doing a great job. Everybody ever want that from the Lord? You say, man, you're doing a great job. We all want to serve God in great ways, but you know what? Sometimes we don't want to serve him in the small ways. And sometimes the small ways make room for the big ways. You see, when you're faithful with just a little bit, what does God say? I'm going to give you a whole lot more. So start obeying in the small things, and God's going to open doors so you can be great in the great things, right? So, but God is, he's interested more in those small things, and we don't do it to get our name in lights. We don't do it to get a star on the board, the felt board, if you're going to Sunday school. How many members of stars on the felt board? Yes, I do. Love those things. We do it because why? Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey me. So I do it because I love him and I want to obey him. 3 John 1:5. I like the way it says it in the Message. I'm going to veer from the NIV. I'm going to read from the Message. It says this. When you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, you make faith visible. What we're doing when you reach out is you're making faith visible and tangible to people who are seeing and watching your life. Whether you like it or not, if you say you're a Christian and you live that life, people are watching your life. They're seeing what you do in the small things, the medium-sized things, and the big things because they know something's going on. Third way that we serve better together is by sharing our resources. Now, I have a principle that I live by, and I think this principle may be a little arguable. You may disagree with it, but here's what I think. I believe that everything that I own belongs to God. 17 of us believe that as well. Everything that I have belongs to God. My house, my car, the things in my garage, all those belong. I am so thankful that the bank allows me to stay in the house. Right? paying that mortgage, keep paying that mortgage so God can give you a place to live. But here's the thing. I believe also that if you have the same principle, listen to this, that everything that you have belongs to God, we can share it. I've lost you right there. What? What are you talking? Let me describe what I'm talking about. Acts 2:44. I love it when the church began. In Acts chapter 2, verse starts about verse 38, going through 44, 46, 48, something like that. It begins to say how they broke bread together, how they ate together, how they did all of these things together. I love what they do. There's like fellowship involved, evangelism, discipleship. There was the ministry of the word. They did all these things together. You know what one thing they did? Listen to what they did. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Now think about it. We live in a society, in a world, just like probably little kids, where the first thing a one-year-old will learn is four-letter word. What is it? It's not a bad word. Mine. That's mine. 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 And then all of a sudden, we live in a mine society, right? That's mine and look at me society. That's why we're continually on social media. Look what I'm doing today. Look and see what I've got. Look and see. And all of a sudden, we forget to consider others better than ourselves. Now think about it this way. I had a neighbor one time. And this neighbor, his name was Rodney. And Rodney and I had the same belief system about sharing our resources. So if I needed something from his house, he would say, hey, just come get it, call me, let me know. And I had the same way from my house. Hey, if you need something to borrow, just let me know. What I have is yours. I'm telling you, that's a great neighbor right there. How many's with me on that one? Am I communicating to you? Wow. I'm going to ask if you would just leave a list of what you have at the end of the service. Joking. I'm just joking. I had a need one day, and my need was my carpet was a mess, and I heard, and he told me, he says, I have a Kirby vacuum. Am I communicating to the ladies this morning? You know what a Kirby vacuum is? They're kind of expensive, right? They'll wash anything, or they'll wash your car, your house, your kids. They'll do it all. It's an amazing, Google it. You young people are like, I don't even know what it is. Google it. You'll see. It's a great thing. And so he said, you got to come borrow my Kirby vacuum. I borrowed it. I shampooed my carpets with it. I mean, this thing was amazing. I brought it back. I said, this is one amazing Kirby vacuum. Now, here's a little insight to my life. I love to vacuum. That's my wife. I vacuum at the house. There's some things I don't do real well, like the laundry and stuff, but I do vacuum. I love it. I love a clean, fresh carpet where you have those streaks, perfect streaks. Don't walk on it. Wait. I want to look at it for 5 or 10 minutes. That's all I want to do. Just want to look at it. You know what I'm saying? Now I feel like we have connected this morning. And so here we are. We've connected. And so I got so excited. I went out and bought one for $175. Thank you very much. Yeah, see, if you know Kirby vacuums, that's a deal. Man, I began to use that thing hours in my house. I'm lying at this point. I'm joking. A Kirby vacuum. So all of a sudden, we have this, I need to borrow a ladder. Okay, come borrow a ladder. We're borrowing back and forth. I remember one day going on vacation out of the country. My refrigerator breaks down. It's gone. Rodney, do you have a refrigerator that I can borrow? Yeah, sure. Come on over and get it. Love that. I did. I went over and got it. Used the refrigerator for a month before I got my own refrigerator. Resources, sharing resources that we have. Giving to one another when you are in need. Now, here's the other thing that happens when you begin to make, and here's the key. It's more than sharing resources. I want you to understand this. It's developing relationships with people. It's that our lives, we become better together. It's that, hey, he calls me, hey, I'm putting my wood floor in. Will you mind helping me out? No, I'll come over for 8 hours. We put in a wood floor. It's building relationship with people. Then I get the call from Rodney. He's on the other line. He is crying like a baby. He's 50-something years old. He's crying. I said, Rodney, what is wrong? He says, my dog died. He says, Don is at home, his wife. She says, listen, I'm at work. Is there any way that you can go over to my house and you can just bury my dog in the backyard? Sure, man, no problem. I'm so sorry. So I go over and we get the dog. I'm digging holes and I'm thinking, I wonder what they did in the first century. Believers, Christians that would give to one another. I'm just burying his dog. But for him, he has no kids. Had the dog for 13 years. This is his life. I could have totally made fun of him, made all kinds of jokes about it, but you know what? I just tried to love. How can you go wrong with love, right? Relationship, sharing our resources. God does great things when we share our resources with others. Romans 12, 9 through 13 says this, and you think I'm saying this? This is the word. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's what his word says. We either obey his word or we reject his word. Think about it. Now, you need to understand this. There are people all around you who need your service, people in the community, people in the church, people around this church. There are all kinds of people who need our help. And I love what Jesus did. You know, Jesus always, I believe, cared for the underdog. It seems like he always sided with the marginalized people in life. Seems like he was always trying to help the homeless, help the hurting, help the broken, help the ones with leprosy that no one would touch. He was always going to the people that no one else was around. I came across this story by a Catholic bishop named Fulton Sheen. And Fulton Sheen went to a leprosy colony one day, and he was just ministering the love of Christ. And he walks into this colony because all these people with leprosy are all in this courtyard. And there's one man way over in a corner, and Fulton Sheen walks over to him, and he just bends down. And when he bends down, his necklace with a cross breaks off, and it breaks off right into the sore of this man with leprosy. And it's one of those sores that's just oozing. It's gross. It's nasty. And all of a sudden, he's repulsed, and he kind of pulls back. And then all of a sudden, incredible compassion comes over him. And he reaches into the sore and he picks up the cross. And then he thinks to himself and he says these words, I don't know a finer definition of Christianity is picking up the cross in the sores of hurting, wounded, broken people. Don't you love that? And he picks up the cross. You know what? Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves to be filled with compassion. We got to remind ourselves that, you know what? We do this all better together instead of alone. And God does great things. I'm going to close with Revelation chapter 3 today. I'm going to read to you a story. And I love the book of Revelation. And really the book of Revelation, just that word it means uncover. And I know that there's so much symbolism in the book of Revelation, but if you just read it, you might be a little lost. But if you will dig into the book of Revelation just a little bit and begin to study it, you'll find some incredible truths in the book of Revelation. One of the churches that was being talked with was, remember the seven churches in Asia Minor. And John has this vision. He sees the Lord. The Lord comes to him, and he's talking to him. And he's talking to him about all these different churches. And one of the churches is the church of Laodicea. And as you know, that in these words, that there's certain things that each church is doing great, and there's certain things that maybe some churches aren't doing too well at in this book of in Revelation, these churches. And it helps us learn as a church, too, maybe what we can do even better, or maybe how we can change our views and help to serve one another better. Now let me read just a few chapters or a few verses in this book. To the church in Laodicea, verse 14 of chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. I remember growing up, and I remember people preaching this verse, and I remember them saying, you know what? You need to be either hot, on fire for God, or you need to be cold, not living for God at all, but don't be lukewarm. I never could understand that verse. That never even made sense. Still doesn't make sense. Until you begin to dig a little deeper and find the meaning of what's going on in the scripture. And here's what's going on. In Laodicea, you have to understand that there was a place, it was called the Tri-Cities, that at Laodicea, you could stand there and you could see two other cities. You could see Hierapolis and you could see Colossae, or Colossae, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Laodicea was a rich city. They were a textile city that made textiles, sold textiles, and they also were famous for having eye salve. And they would sell this eye salve for healing, and that was just about all that they had. So they were a rich city, but if you remember in the scripture, it says they were pitiful, poor, and listen to the word, they were blind. Yet they made eye salve. Think about that. What they're really saying, what these words are really teaching is this, is that it was more of one of those experiential learning where if you were at Laodicea, whoever was teaching this verse would say, look, I want you to be hot or cold. I want you to look over to Hierapolis. Hierapolis was known for their hot baths. All these amazing springs that were real hot that people, and I love this, man, their homes, some of the people who had a lot of money, their homes were filled with these hot springs running right into their homes. That's where the hot tub came from, just by the way, want to throw that out? I don't know that really, I'm just making that up. This other part I'm not, okay? But they had all these hot baths and people would come from miles, dignitaries, kings, queens would come from miles so that they could receive healing and restoration. If you had a skin disease, they would go to the hot baths. And so everyone would make their way to Hierapolis. And you could see Hierapolis because Hierapolis looked like cotton because of all the minerals in the water. It looked like just cotton running off the cliffs and the bluffs. So you could say, that's Hierapolis. I want you to be hot. And then on the other side was Colossae. Colossae was known for its freshwater springs that were really cold. And so they had aqueducts running into the city that you could have a refreshing, uplifting, good. I mean, if you were hot, you could drink this cold water and it would be so refreshing to your life. Now think about this. When you read the scripture, when he says, I want you to be hot, I want you to be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Because Laodicea, they didn't have any hot, they didn't have any cold. All they had was these aqueducts that were running into the city. And you can Google Laodicea and see these old aqueducts that would run into the city. And they had no hot water, no cold water. It was just lukewarm, but that's just what they had. And so in teaching this verse, get this. What it tells you and I is this. You need to either be hot. You need to bring healing and restoration to people wherever you go, and whatever you do, your words should bring healing and restoration to people, or you should be what? Cold. You should be refreshing. You should be uplifting. You should be good to people. But what I don't want you to be, I don't want you to be lukewarm. Isn't that powerful? That verse now says something completely different than what I grew up listening to. Because that's what Jesus wants us to be, that wherever we go, whatever we do, listen, church, listen, Life Church, I want you to be uplifting to people. I want you to be refreshing to people. I want you to be good, encouraging. I want you to bring life to people. Right. And then when you go out throughout the community, throughout the church, man, bring healing. Let your words bring healing. Let them be restorative, because there are broken people in this world. Listen, there's no greater cause than to dip down into the life of some, pick up the cross in someone's hurting, broken life. When you do that, God will do great things. Why? Because we are better together in life. Right? And I believe God is going to call each and every one of us. We're going to just have to listen to his voice as he calls us out to obey him, to live for him, right here at Life Church and in this community, and God's going to do great things. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Lord, we are so grateful for your goodness. God, I'm so thankful that you did not call us to a comfortable life. God, you called us to step out, and sometimes it's so difficult to step out. So, Lord, I pray that as you help us understand and see the things that you're doing in our lives this morning, I pray that this word would speak to people. And, Lord, that they would see you in a different light, see the way they're supposed to live in a different light. And, God, let them understand, let me understand that we are better together. Help me use my talents, my gifts. Help me help people. Help me share the resources that you have blessed me with. And God, help me step out in life. God, let me be hot. Let me be healing and restoration to someone. Let me be uplifting to somebody, refreshing to somebody. God, help me today in what you've called me to be. Lord, if there are people here that do not know you, God, let them respond to you today to hear your voice as they call out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, before we end today, I just want to make a call to people. Maybe you walked into this church today and you had no peace in your life. I've got great news. You can leave with peace in your life. The word says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You know, at one time, that was every one of us in this room. We had just fallen short, right? We'd sinned. We'd messed up. We realized that from reading his word or listening to a message. And we learned this, that the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I love the eternal life that God offers. You say, well, how do I get there? How do I get there, Pastor Craig? What do I say? I want to live for Christ. I want him in my life, but what do I do? Well, Romans says this, in Romans chapter 10, it says this, is that if we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, believe in our heart that he has been raised from the dead, it says this, we shall be saved. I love that. It's a confession with our mouth saying, Lord, I want to live for you. And the great thing is, here's the great thing. Did you know that we are better together with the Lord than walking this life alone? And when we walk it alone, it's lonely. It's hurtful. Man, when we have Jesus in our life, sometimes we walk the same road, but we have someone to walk with, and that's Jesus. Would you bow your head one more time? If you don't know Jesus and you'd say, you know what? I want Jesus to come into my life. I want to partner with him. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front at all. I'm going to pray for you right there in your seat. We're all going to pray together, as a matter of fact, in just a moment. But would you say, yes, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. Just raise your hand real high, real quick, so I can see it. All across this room. All across this room. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand way, way in the back. Anyone else? I need Jesus in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just a moment. My second call goes out to those of you who says, you know what? I know that God is speaking to my life. I need to step out. I need to help people more. I need to use the talents and gifts that God has given me. I need to share my resources, and God's calling me to that. Say, yeah, that's me. Just up and back down. Say, yeah, that's me. I can feel that. Amen. We're going to obey God, what he wants me to do. I want us to pray corporately together. I want you to repeat after me. It's just a prayer of salvation, but it's so much better when everyone does it together. It just feels great, doesn't it? To know there are those today that have given their life to Jesus. Would you repeat after me? Dear Lord, I come before you today, and I love you. I recognize today that I'm in need of a Savior. So I bring you my sin, and I lay it at your feet. Lord, come fill me with your life. I need you today. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. Thank you for saving me today and giving me a brand new life. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand today, amen. Isn't it rejoicing? Yes. That's exciting. So exciting. Listen, stand with me if you will today. If you did give your life to Jesus, I want to remind you that right behind the cameras in the back is just an area that we meet with those who had just given their life to Jesus. It's a place where you can meet with somebody. They're going to share with you in His Word, give you some information that you can take home to know about the decision that you made. And I want to encourage you, those of you who heard this Word today, live it out this week. Be challenged. If God speaks to you, I'd rather be wrong 1,000 times than miss Jesus 1 time, right? Step out and obey and see what God will do. Let me bless you as you go today. And remember this, as I pray at the very end of this service, there are going to be altar workers all across the front to here to pray with you. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation. You need God's healing touch in your life. You just need to meet with the Lord. You need a word from Him. Listen, this is the place to do that. And we're so glad to offer that today, immediately after this prayer. God, I pray that You would go with everyone here. Thank You for Your work. Thank You for being here in this place to challenge us, to help us, to call our names out, Lord. Help us to understand that we've got to use our gifts, our talents to help people and share our resources, God, because we live in a world that needs You. Help us right here at Life Church to be better together. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Go in His grace, go in His peace.